Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 1. We started this, we had Mother's Day last week, and we talked about sort of the crumbling foundations. And how important it is to realize that, look, God is the foundations in which our lives are built. That the Word of God is sort of the manual, if you will. Someone once described the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. It always kind of stuck with me. I like that idea of that. But in here, we see as a nation and as a people, what we've done is sort of removed God not only from the public square, but also from our lives. And by doing that, we crumble the foundation in which everything should be filled. And because of that, there's ramifications for all these things. I won't go over all last week's, 2 weeks ago, I won't go through all of those things, but just give us a running start, because Paul starts off in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That in here, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as those who say we are followers of God, folks, we can't be ashamed of who He is and what He says. And unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of things in here that are wonderful and blessings and are encouragement to us. There are other things that kind of step on my toes, that kind of point out some things in my life. It's like, oh, okay, God, you're not happy with this. And because I love the Lord, I want to please Him. Right? You know, those of you, you know, you're in a marriage relationship. To love your spouse, you do things that please them, hopefully, most of the time. Right? Because of love, it has an impact. And as Christians, as we love the Lord, and we need our Christians who are going to stand on the Word of God, on the truth of it, and say, okay, I'm not ashamed. And as our world gets further away, and even that, not just the world, but churches are going down that same path. You know, I talked to someone in this very town who turned around and said, well, Pastor, if you just change your message, you'll have more people. Right? You know, don't be so staunch on what the Bible says. Well, folks, if we remove this, then what is there? And Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. By accepting and receiving Him and what He says, He gives us salvation. As we talked about, this world is getting further away from these things. And because of that, there's consequences. When you remove the foundation, what happens to the house? It crumbles. I talked to a gentleman who was a carpenter. There's a missionary's trip. He was involved on a ship that would go actually up and down the coast of South America. And he goes, look, I'm just a carpenter. He goes, how can I be a missionary? I really feel God wants me to serve Him, but I'm a carpenter. I'm not a Bible theologian. You know, what can I do? And he got involved on a ship. He goes, look, ships are made of wood. It's salty. He eats away at it. He goes, we need a carpenter who's going to help. And the missionary, so he was on the support team taking care of the ship to help the missionaries. And he said he was down there, and he goes, it'd be really interesting to see some of the crazy things that would happen. He goes, he went to one cabin, and there's the chef that was on the ship had problems. He goes, look, he called him and goes, I have huge roaches and everything else in my cabin. They're like, oh, that's kind of serious. And mice and rats. And what are you doing? So he went down to the cabin and he looked at the wall, and this guy's wall was almost all eaten up. He goes, well, what happened? He goes, well, I put a hole in trying to nail something into the wall, and I made a hole. Well, I figured I'd try to cover it up. He goes, and I didn't have any kind of mud or drywall thing. So he goes, I'm a chef. He goes, I figured fondant would work really well. He goes, we have it in the kitchen. So he took fondant and plugged the hole with the fondant. Well, fondant is just sugar. Well, guess what likes sugar? Bugs. And so the bugs would come and eat a little bit more of the drywall. Well, now I have a big hole. And so I started ripping up some other frostings and stuff and started trying to plaster all of that. Well, eventually a rat got in there because it was trying, and it got bigger and bigger until finally he goes, I got this huge mess. Because he was trying to fill the hole with the wrong thing. Right? And folks, when we remove God from the equation, because God is our creator, He is our salvation, He is all in all, and we build our lives on Him, when we remove that, everything else starts to crumble. And we start patching it up with all these other things that don't work. And Paul says here in Romans, starting in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Right? God has warned, He's given us a warning that look, this is what you should do and what you shouldn't do. This is how to live and how not to live. But when we turn away from that, reject the truth, the foundations, then God says, my wrath is poured out upon it. And we suppress the truth in unrighteousness because what may be known to God is manifested in them. And here Paul says, look, there's enough of evidence of God around us that we should turn to Him. First one is what? It's in us. That God, we are created in His image, the Bible says. The fact that we can love and show compassion and kindness shows that there's a God. You know, I can't help but think, and you hold a little baby and see all the little fingers and all the little toes, and you look at that, it's like, wow, there's a God. Right? And we have enough of that in us, that conscience of knowing what's right and wrong. The fingerprints of God are enough and evidence enough that we should turn to Him, but people decide not to. And we see Him in creation around us. I was all excited because I went out and I was doing something out in the yard and going to buy some flowers, and this little hummingbird went zipping by. I love hummingbirds. Anyone else like, right? I don't have a feeder out. We probably should do that pretty soon. But they're going out in the flowers. We got this little, last place we had a couple feeders out. And hummingbirds are, I was always fascinated because they're so tiny and they go. But if you ever had hummingbirds around, they are nasty little things. You know, I just thought they were sweet little, until you got them, and then there was one little male that was just driving everyone away, and we had like three feeders, and he was guarding it. They're like, forget little dogs, hummingbirds are just tough little things, right? But you look how they fly and what they're able to do, and so compact, and it's such a, whoa, there's a God. There's a God. And people see this evidence and choose to go the other way. And because of that, God says, my wrath is poured out. Well, I want to pick up where we kind of left off. Because where our society has come to, I think Paul warned Timothy. And some of this is not new. Peter turns around and says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? Right? It's funny because we turn around and we warn people. Look, there's consequences of sin. Some of it is God judges sin, and people have to give an account for sin. But also there's just natural consequences. Right? Cause and effect. I have an adjustable crescent wrench at home. I am not a mechanic. I am not a carpenter. I'm just cheap and don't mind to pay other people to do it, so I fix my own stuff. Yeah. But my toolbox consists of, I have a screwdriver, a crescent wrench, and a vice grip. And I can fix most things with that. Throw in a piece of duct tape, and I'm just like Tim the Tool Man Taylor. I'm just wonderful. My wife rolls her eyes. She's like, yeah, all right. Right? So I have an adjustable wrench at home. And you know how to use it, right? You know, you find a little nut and you go, well, I was working on a project and I didn't have a hammer with me. So I decided to use my crescent wrench as a hammer. Has anyone done that? Oh, okay. Oh, I've done that, and then I it works really well. They're kind of rounded. It's got a little weight to it. So I was hammering, nailing. I'm fine, great. So I'm crawling underneath the sink trying to do something. I'm hammering away, which probably a hammer wasn't a good tool anyways for it. And so after I got it all where I needed to do, I grabbed the crescent wrench again, turned it over, went to adjust it, and now it won't adjust. Because if you know how it works, you have a little thread that goes up through. Well, I had mushroomed the part where it's supposed to thread up through, and now it's filled in. And now it doesn't adjust. I mean, I could fix anything probably from a 3/4 inch bigger, because I can adjust down, but I can't adjust smaller. So now the tool I had for the job is no longer good for the job I needed for. But it's still a good hammer. Right? When we turn around and God tells us not to, right? Sometimes, you know, God's not up in heaven saying, hey, what's the new rule I can come up with? You know, people in Augusta and in Washington do that. What are new rules I can make for this? Right? God doesn't say, how can I make John's life miserable? Hey, I got it. Here's a good one. God doesn't do that. As I follow the course of what God wants me to do, there is, whether you're a believer or not, I believe that there is safety in following the owner's manual. Right? That in here, if as a husband, if I am faithful to my wife, there's a whole lot of diseases and consequences I don't have to worry about because I'm staying within what God has said. And so in here, God's judgment comes in because he judges sin, but also there's some natural consequences that go along with it. And they say, hey, where is this? And I think we live this today. People are mocking. You know, all Christians, you guys are just so backwards. Right? Oh, you're so old-fashioned. And we look around us, and I don't know about you, but does anyone else feel that this world's going the wrong way real fast? Yeah. Even things that we looked at, 10 years ago to compare to now. And part of that is because we've taken God out and replaced it with other things. Romans continues on, and starting in verse 21 and 22, Paul starts dealing with the consequences of removing God. He starts off with, look, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And Paul says, look, I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to proclaim it, and I want it to be true. And that's my heart's desire this morning. Is I don't want to say, hey, this is what Pastor John thinks. Because you don't want to know what I think. But this is what the Bible says. And Lord, give me the strength to stand on and not be ashamed of what the Bible says. No matter how popular it is. Help me stand. And because of this, there's results happens when we take God out. And the first one is we kind of fill it with our own ideas and philosophies. Romans says here, it's because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. But because became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise, they became fools. Then when we replace God, we take Him out, we start filling it with our own philosophies and our own ideas, and most of them aren't good. As we put God in His place, that God, You are the Creator, You are my Master, I am Your servant. I am Your creation. Because of this, God, You have the right to define my life. You know what's best for me, what's not. And as I do that, God, I am thankful. We talk a lot about self-esteem and telling kids about how self-esteem. Can I tell you something? Nothing is better than knowing that you are the Son of God or the daughter of God and God holds you in His hand. Right? I don't need a puffed up anything. I just know who I am in Christ. And that's wonderful. And because of that, I'm thankful. And because I'm thankful, that brings me life back in the tune. One of the big problems we have, we look at this, and we look at what's going on in the world, we take God out, and now I am unthankful for what I have. Because I deserve nothing. Right? I don't deserve anything. And we live in such an entitlement world where they just because I exist. Right? The news a couple years ago, there was a gentleman, I think he was in his 40s, who was suing his parents. Because his parents were trying to get him out of the home. And he says, no. He goes, you gave birth to me. I am your responsibility. So you got to pay for my college. You got to pay for my living. You got to pay for my food. You got to pay for... Because you had me. Right? Because of that, there are certain things I deserve. How things have changed. Because I don't know about you. And this is just between us. It's dangerous because we've been putting the videos up on YouTube and the Facebook, and my mom's been watching it, so I gotta be careful what I say about her. But I didn't grow up thinking, hey, because I exist, I have this, right? My mom would tell me, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. Did anyone else have that speech? Right? I remember telling you, I don't think I ever said in my life to my parents, I have a right. Because, right? He had no rights. No, yeah, exactly, right? And we have, because once we lose that thankfulness, once we lose that gratitude, then we all become this self-serving black hole of taking and devouring, right? And I believe that's what we're seeing today. And we become unthankful. Proverbs chapter 9 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Right? To put my thoughts in place, my priorities in place, I put God first. And okay, God, what do you want? God, what kind of spouse do you want me to be? God, what kind of father do you want me to be? What kind of employee do you want me to be? What kind of person do you want me to be? Go to the book and say, okay, God, I'm going to start with a premise from you. And then seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You put things in place, and God will start putting things in order for you. But when you take God out, then you start putting in our own thoughts and our ideas. Isaiah 29, right? God is our creator. Because I'm God's creator, He made me a certain way. Right? I have certain personalities. I have certain strengths. I have certain weaknesses. There are things that are inherently me. And I look at that and say, okay, God, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You created me this way. Right? Now, you know, there's certain things I could do to kind of influence some things. Right? But there are certain things in me that this is how God made me. And you know what? It's okay. There are things I would love to change. Yeah. Right? But God, help me be thankful for who I am. And there's a wonderful thing that happens that when God, you know what? This is how you made me. And I'm okay with that. I don't use it for an excuse for sin. But Isaiah picks that up, and God speaks to Isaiah. He says, surely you have things turned around, right? We take God out, things get flopped upside down. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say to him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say to him who formed it, you have no understanding? This idea of the potter and the clay. God says, look, I am the potter. I will create and I will do what I want to do. And he says, wait a minute. Things have turned backwards. What is the clay to say, why did you make me this way? Right? A clay cup says, oh, God, you didn't make, you didn't make me a plate. Well, no, this is what God made you and the purpose God has for you. But when you remove God from the equation, all of a sudden now people are like, you know what, I can define myself. My definition doesn't come from God. I'll define myself. And if that isn't pulled from the headlines today, I don't know what is. Right? a couple of areas I want to talk to you, and I don't want to be political. I want to be biblical this morning. But there's some clear truths we're seeing as a result of removing God in here. First, when we look at God as our Creator, and that's so evident and so important that we have that God, because God, you are a Creator, you can make me how you want. Because of this, life is a gift from God, the Bible says. Children are a heritage of God. We look at these things, that God, okay, this is your realm. And what's happened is we've taken God out, and now I want to be in charge. I want to define. I want a cake. I want to give. I want to do these things. Psalms 139 says, "For you were formed in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your eyes saw my substance being yet formed. And in your book were written the days fashioned for me when I was yet were none of them." As God is the creator of all things, He is the giver of life. We look at the idea of life today. And you can rip this right off the headlines. Because the Bible says He is the giver of life. He says in the womb, God knits these little babies together. Right? That in here, the God has numbered my days. Before there was anything, He knew how long I was going to be here on earth. He knew all the events was going to happen. God is intimately involved in all our lives. And when we remove God from that foundation, that He is the creator, when He is the giver of life, all of a sudden now we become the ones that we get to define life, when it begins, when to take it. And I cringe when we hear the politicians and all that going on, dodging fundamental biblical truths. From the get-go, from the womb, God gives life. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. I don't get to define when life starts. God has done that. Then in here, the argument of when to take life, even our own state now, is going through and saying, you know what? I have a right to take my life. We have insurance companies saying, you know what? Your life doesn't have the value to give you certain medicines because, you know, you're going to probably die anyway, so what does it make you comfortable? Or take your life on the end of things. These things belong to God. And I tell you something, life, because it's a gift of God, is a precious thing in all forms. You know, and we've been down this road. You know, we've gone down through and looked at the ultrasounds, and there was our baby, and there's problems, and we've gone into the doctor and said, you know, we can end this. We can end this week after week, offering to take away our pain. And we said, no, this is a life that's precious from God. And we will value all the time we have with this baby. It's God's business. On the other side, I've been in so many hospital rooms and how many bedrooms. As someone is drawing their last breaths. And once again, men want to say, you know what? Now the life doesn't have that much value. Now we can end it. And now we'll do this. The Bible says, look, I know your days. And I'm yet to know anyone who is at that bedside holding a hand of a loved one when that last breath is drawn, who didn't hope for one more. Right? Because we are unique in creation. We are eternally made in the image of God. We have value in that life that we have. And you're in a room. Have you ever been in a room when someone passes away? Something happens in that room. That life is no longer there. Right? That life has that value, a gift from God. It's not up to me or for you to define that. It's God's work. We talk about the potter and the clay. We are living in a society now where science is advanced, where now we can turn around and say, you know what, I don't like how I'm born. I can change it. The Bible makes it really simple. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in here, He created them male and He created them female. But when we take away that definition from God, what are we left with? And I wanted to double check my facts before I left this morning, so I pulled up. And at this point, the federal government, or no, I'm going to get this right. New York State recognizes 31 different types of genders. Facebook recognizes 71 different types of genders. And you know, and for the adult to turn around and say, you know, I want to be this, I want to be that. I mean, the Bible says men are men, women are women. But when we take God out, I can now define what I want to be. Right? And we look at the ramifications. We look at the heartache that goes on. My heart bleeds for people who struggle with these things. Truly. And we are left with a choice. We can either take God's definition and throw it out to accept, or say, no, this is what God says. But it's interesting because you listen to the world's philosophy and what happens is they're like, oh, this just makes sense. And when you look at the ramifications and look at the struggles, look at all the doors this is causing, the problems that's going on along the way, because we're choosing to decide, we're choosing to define instead of taking God what God says. And in here we have not just our society, but we have the church itself going down these roads. And I'm like, where are the men and women of God who will say, this is what God says? And I'm not saying this out of a matter of hate. I'm not made of defining of who we like or who we don't like. It's just a definition of God. This is what God says. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How are we doing on time? Okay. Romans continues on. Then he who exchanged the truth of God for a lie in verse 25 and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Not only do our thoughts become empty, we remove God and we want to plug it with ourselves. But in here, when we remove God out here, we remove Him as the Creator. That in here, we look around and look and give praise and glory. God, what a great sunrise this was. What a great sunset this was. God, where's the sun? We'd like the sun for a little bit. I know it's there somewhere. Right? We turn around and watch the hummingbirds and... So we're out watching a softball game, and I swore I saw some ducks flying south again. I was like, no! Right? But as God is Creator, and we marvel in these things, and it's funny because you turn around and I, you know, many of you know, I started off, I wanted to be a science teacher. That's what I went to school for. I was going to be a biology education major. I was going to be a science teacher. So I love science, and I look at the complexities of it all, and I'm amazed at the wonder of nature. As we explore, things get more complicated. Right? Not only in the universe, the further out we go, the more we discover, the more we realize we don't know. When we get smaller and you get into the microscopic and get into those worlds, it's amazing how, you know, how does this, you know, little germ work? It's so complex. And so, right, to say that all this just kind of happened takes away the glory of God. God, you are creative. God, you are wonderful. God, how did you do that, right? But we take that glory away because we want to take God out. But what are we left with? We look at creation. And it gets lifted up. And it gets exalted. Instead of God. I kind of liked that, you know, imagine, you know, if Sunday morning, you know, we had 100 people outside looking at the sign saying, ooh, what a wonderful sign. Hey, come on in. No, we're just out here looking at the sign. Right? You're missing the point. By looking at this creation and stop being there, we're losing the glory of God and the wonder of God and the relationship of God on the other side. You know, some of you guys just love nature. You get out there and you look at that and say, wow. And you have a great opportunity to worship God in all the wonder that He has. But when we flip that over and we see this showing up, that we turn around, we exalt and worship nature instead of the Creator, the creation. And it shows itself in so many different ways. Of one, like I said, we love science and we homeschool our daughter and we'll pull up videos. And I love listening to these guys who talk about nature and talk about how, you know, nature works things out. Right? You ever notice that? We don't believe in God, but nature has a way of working things out. Well, wait a minute. Nature, it's not a thing. It's not a person, right? You know, and this lizard, you know, kind of decided that it was going to form these webbed toes so it could fly. Wait, no, he didn't decide I was going to do this. If you could will something, I mean, I would have a monkey's tail. Wouldn't that be cool? You know? Right? And I'm just going to will it. Nope, didn't happen, right? But in here, and I've talked to, you know, people who believe all the evolution, how they say, well, it's a matter of just time, over time. Well, then time becomes the God. Right? If you just give anything enough time, anything can happen. Well, no, that's not true. You don't get order from chaos. Right? My vehicle is living proof of that. Right? I just leave it alone. It has not organized itself. If anything, actually, my whole ecosystem is starting to go on now. Right? But we look at this, we exalt, we worship the creation to those who actually do worship it. You know, where we turn around and hug the trees and do all. I mean, look, I am all for appreciating nature. I believe as Christians that God gave us this world to be stewards of. We need to be wise stewards with what God has given us. And we always haven't done a good thing with that. We've always had been wise with what God has given us. But it is here to be used. God told man to have dominion over it. Right? I always picture God created all these things, all these chemicals and all this stuff, and almost like a big Lego box. And he, you know, he shook it all up and said, gave it to Adam and said, all right, have fun. And we were out there discovering and exploring and what if I mix this with this? Wow! Right? What if I take, you know, glue and mix it with borax and mix it? I make slime. Big slime is big in our house, right? And at first, like, cool, God, this is a cool thing, right? Because, you know, you have all the proteins and all that gets broken up, and you have all the science behind it, and it was fun for a while until we're finding slime on the couch, on the furniture, in the dog. We're finding slime everywhere. It's like, enough of the slime, right? Any of your parents have been down this road, you know what I'm talking about. Right? But God put these things here to be used and discovered. And not to be exalted and worshipped. When you turn around and when you look at this world around, and oftentimes the cry is coming more and more, is that man is the problem. Nature would be wonderful and perfect if you removed man from the equation. Wait a minute, God put man in the garden. But things get warped, things get skewed when we remove God out. And I think man has an innate desire to worship. That's from God. And that's supposed to be developed and directed towards Him. And yet we've filled it with other things. Well, this is supposed to be only two parts. I'm going to have to break it up. Either we stay until 3 o'clock or else we're going to get into three parts. I'm in favor of three parts. How about that? Well, let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, Lord, as the Creator of all. Lord, in our life, we pray that we put you in that first and foremost part, Lord, as the Creator and Master of our lives. Lord, in here, help us find our worth in you. Lord, help us find our direction in life from you. Lord, may we find fulfillment in you and not in all these things. Lord, we pray for the world around us, the struggle they're having. Lord, because they're removing you, denying you. And Lord, in there, bringing the destructive circumstances into their lives. But Lord, pray for each one of us that we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Help us stand firm on your word and not be ashamed of you. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.